Laura gave a great introduction to different aspects of tissue engineering. And you know, largely regenerative medicine is, of course, focused on the cell and stem cells. But you know, tissues are not just made up of cells, as Laura nicely demonstrated. You know, a lot of it is the extracellular matrix, and really this 3D microenvironment that makes up our tissue. So all three of the speakers today are going to discuss different aspects of engineering, really this 3D microenvironment. A lot of it in terms of biomaterial scaffolds, and you know how we can use these tissue engineering principles to generate tissues. Mainly the discussion for the panel will be, or the topics for the speakers will be kind of in vitro applications. So the format for the panel is going to be each speaker is going to come up and give a brief talk, and then at the end I'll invite all the speakers, including Dr. Nicholson, to come back up and to give you guys an opportunity to ask questions and also have a little bit of a discussion in terms of the different approaches to engineering the microenvironment for cells. So first up, I'd like to introduce Xiaochen Chen, who's a professor in nanoengineering at UC San Diego, and is going to talk about some of his new work with 3D printing.
Thank you, Karen. It's a great pleasure to be here. I would like to talk about 3D printing as a tool and a technology, you know, how it can help with stem cell research, then also how, you know, for tissue engineering in general. Thanks for Laura, your great talk about tissue engineering, and we are working on similar approaches here. You know, tissue engineering is to organize cells in a way that supported by three-dimensional scaffolds with control components like growth factors, small molecules, mechanical stimulation, physical guidance, and then you have those engineered tissue. Used for either organ repair, regeneration, wound healing, as well as in vitro drug screening purpose. And as a matter of fact, you know, for each organ or tissue, there are multiple cell types. So it's really cell lending kind of composite scaffolds that we are working on now. So based on, you know, this overall goal, I've designed my lab in three areas of approaches. One is to investigate what material we can use to provide the necessary mechanical, biological, chemical structure, function, and the composition. The second is to organize these material that can have the right microarchitecture to work for in vivo and in vitro applications. So specifically, you know, I would like to tell you that the 3D bioprinting technologies we are developing in the lab are targeting much finer print resolution compared to the commercial ones, and a much higher throughput. I'll show you later. Okay. So this is a traditional 3D printing, 3D printer, usually using a nozzle to deliver the biological inks. Okay, and you know, dot by dot, and then layer by layer. Okay. Typically, for each of these nozzles, the resolution is about 200 microns. So think about, you know, this really is a physical confinement of delivery with this kind of approach. So I took a totally different approach. Instead of, you know, using a nozzle, actually I, with my background in laser optics, I use laser or photon beam to polymerize the monomer solution, usually, you know, those biomaterials. And then through photopolymerization, we can turn the liquid into solid, okay? And, you know, in semiconductor, we can control the light all the way down from micron to nanometer scale. So that allows us to have a printing resolution, you know, from micron all the way to nanometer scale. And then we have been doing that for over 10 years. And at that time, we didn't call bioprinting. We called laser stereolithography. It's a scientifically interesting name, but not necessarily great for the public to look at. But anyway, so we have chosen a couple biomaterials that we can play with. And this is a laser printed structures, with very engineered designer fashion in terms of the pore size shapes we can do. And you know, with the help of a so-called femtosecond laser, we can confine the effect of polymerization down to nanometer scale, and that allows us to generate those, sub-micron or, couple hundred nanometer patterns on the surface, either scaffolds, multilayers, or all these dot arrays. Okay. So most recently, we look at the capability of really try to push the throughput. So instead of doing one laser beam at a time, we actually using a so-called digital micromirror array. Usually you see that in the computer projector, they can project millions of light spots down to the surface. So we can do really parallel processing without point by point scanning. Okay. So that's really the definition that we unique contribution we have in terms of throughput. So as I mentioned that this printing process is based on photo-induced polymerization. So from monomer solution. So in a solution, you can put cells, you can put control release particles, you can put other particles or molecules, or even drugs into the system. Then you have a homogeneous solution. Then you shine the light, and everything in the light path, focal spot, will be locked up. So that's how you can print the scaffold with a control by the light pattern and with the cell inside. And as I mentioned, that we have used couple of biomaterial, for instance, polyethylene glycol, diacrylate, mesacrylate gelatin, and also hyaluronic acids. Those are all biocompatible materials. Some of them are biodegradable, some of them are not degradable. So it depends on the need of this. We can really develop a bunch of biological scaffolds with designer mechanical property and other properties. So this is, for instance, is a slide, PowerPoint slide, and we project this slide instead of to the screen here, we project to the polymer solution. So you can write the whole pattern simultaneously, just like doing PowerPoint. And if you don't like this shape, you change it in PowerPoint and get this done. And you can do multi-layer structures. So these are the three-dimensional conduits can easily be printed by this kind of structures. Okay, this is hyaluronic acid materials, and we actually try strong cells on that, and they survive. Right. In addition to that, this is vasculature-like structures, and we take the data from as long as the digital data, MRI, CT, or other digital data by design, we can send to the computer and print it. Okay, so with this kind of complex structures, okay, those little channels are on the order of 10 microns, and we can print this whole thing in 1 second. So it's really not point by point, then try to figure out the interfaces. Here we continuously build up these structures from the bottom all the way to up. Okay. You can see the cells in the structure if you want. And then you encapsulate the cell in the structure as you want, and you can see the second cell on top or on bottom. So that allows you to do multiple cell types co-culture. Okay, and to show you that this kind of capability in the easiest way is we actually print those microwell arrays with well-controlled curvature of the well. So if you buy those kind of substrate from Corning, you have one shape you can play with in glass. Here we print them into the hydrogel with really the concave structure you want. Okay? And also you can control the cross-linking density. So each spot here or there could have different mechanical property. So you can build the stiffness along the concave. And we use that to look at EB development. You can see the effect of the EB formation is quite different when we use different curvature of these kind of microwells. Okay. And we have morphological changes data in different days of these iPSC cells. In addition, we can create all these engineered structures like this line arrays and put cell inside and see how these cells align with defined microstructures. And we can introduce disturbance in the systems and to see the disturbance of the alignment. Okay. And we also look at the other informations In this case, is a symmetric disturbance. This is unsymmetric disturbance. So this is a little bit light, but you can see those are nuclear stains. I can see that the pattern did regulate the cell alignment. Okay. In addition to the shape of the structure that we can print, we can also control the chemical composition, because this is a solution-based. If I don't like this solution, I want to put different type of cells, flush out, put a new one, print. Right. So you have material A here, material B here on the same layer, material A on the top, material B on the bottom, for instance. Right. Then we can also encapsulate functional nanoparticles in the hydrogels when you print it. So those particles are encapsulated in the hydrogels during this photopolymerization process. And in this specific case, we published recently, we put a PDA nanoparticles. And those particles actually can attract and trap melatonins, okay, in a solution. So, and from observation point of view, once they have bound together, this transparent hydrogel becomes red. Okay, so it's a very nice kind of tool to look at how these melatonins are removed by this nanoparticle encapsulated hydrogel. In addition to chemical control, I would like to show you that we can control the mechanical properties. Mechanical properties including stiffness, that's one thing. We can control the molecular weight and cross-linking density. Another property is called Poisson ratio, means when you stretch materials in this direction, usually it shrinks in the other direction. Okay, that's called positive polymerization material. 99.9% of the material in the nature are positive polymerization material. And with a 3D printing, we can create this kind of unusual material called negative polymerization material. When you stretch it, it actually enlarges. Okay, in the lateral direction. Okay, and it's very flexible. In terms of property. So as an engineer, we can really do hybrid materials. So from printing point of view, it's very easy. As long as you change the PowerPoint design, you can create one side positive material, on the other side, the negative positive material. So with this, I think this could be very useful for dynamic culturing. That in this zoom, the cell experience shrinking in terms of strain. On the other zoom, cell could have an expansion type of strain to guide it, in terms of differentiation and cell growth. Okay. And the reason you can get is because of those special geometry that you printed into the hydrogel, right? And you can also do so-called zero Poisson ratio material, means when you stretch it, the dimension in this direction, in the y direction, doesn't change. Okay, it doesn't change. The last I would like to show you that we can encapture cells during the printing process, because for polymerization there is free radical generation in the process, and those are not cell friendly. But by adjusting the photoinitiator types, concentration, UV polymerization time, we can actually manage this cell survival rate to between 85% to 95%. With a cell inside. And as you see, you can print very much all kinds of shapes as you want, right? And these cells are encapsulated inside in the gel, and this is a confocal microscope images. And you can see, cell morphology is quite different from inside to outside. And last, to show you that these cells are alive, the best way to show is to use cardiac cells. So, the cells are encapsulated in gel, and day 7, they start to beat, okay? And then we did a little bit of engineering. Instead of doing just a flat gel, I put aligned pattern in the gel, okay? Think about, muscle alignment. And you can see the frequency of beating is quite different. So this case is very much random, much high frequency, but this one is more robust, organized. So I think the reason is, this alignment of this hydrogel helps these cells to communicate in a better way. Okay, so with that, my time's up. I would like to summarize that we using light processing for polymerization, we can achieve much better resolution in terms of printing, okay? And we can generate the scaffolds with or without cell with control in terms of porosity, shapes, stiffness, Poisson ratio, chemical composition, and of course, you know, cell encapsulation. And we have been working with different types of biopolymers like poison glycol, gelatin, methacrylate, hyaluronic acid, and their combination to tune the mechanical properties and for different tissue models with application for either in vivo tissue repair or in vitro tissue modeling, disease modeling, and drug screening. So thank you very much.